Previously, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety, so there is no need to request that from the commission. The recording will be available on the commission's website soon after this meeting. And if you need a copy from some other means, you can contact the commission. In addition, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I will keep track of that for the parties.
Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Luis. Yo soy el presidente de la Comisión de Libertad de Información. Esta es la reunión regular de la Comisión del 23 de junio 2021. Antes de comenzar, pasaré una lista en orden alfabético para que el registro refleje quién participa hoy. Cuando diga su nombre, indique que esté presente. En ese momento, el presidente pasó una lista para averiguar cuáles comisionados estaban presentes. Los siguientes comisionados están presentes hoy. Comisionado Streeter, comisionado Hagen, comisionado Winkler, comisionado Einhorn, comisionado Xavier, comisionado Fundeschi, comisionado Shaw y comisionado Eger. Esta reunión está abierta al público y se está llevando a cabo telefónicamente debido a la pandemia de COVID-19. Será grabado en su totalidad. Para todos los que participan en la reunión hoy, recuerda identificarse primero para la grabación cada vez que se le pide que hable. Se espera que todos los participantes se comporten de manera respetuosa en todo momento y no interrumpan las deliberaciones de la comisión. Si la comisión cree que la conducta de alguna persona es perjudicial, esta persona será silenciada según las instrucciones del presidente. Cualquier otra interrupción dará lugar a la expulsión de esta persona de la reunión. Cuando la comisión lleve a cabo una votación, será por votación por llamada de rol. Yo conduciré el rol. El primer punto es la consideración de las minutas de la reunión de la Comisión del 9 de junio de 2021. En ese momento, el presidente Hagen llevó a cabo una votación por llamada de error sobre las minutas y las minutas estaban aprobadas. Ahora vamos a considerar los reportes de los oficiales de audiencia. Los reportes de los oficiales de audiencia son públicamente accesibles en nuestro sitio de web www.ct.gov/FOI. Llamaré los casos. Si una de las partes quiere dirigirse a la comisión sobre un caso en particular, háganmelo saber y marcaremos el caso listo. En este momento, el presidente Hagen llamó la lista de dos casos. Y ahora pideré a Colleen Murphy, directora ejecutiva y licenciada general, que haga los anuncios regulares. Colleen Murphy hizo los siguientes anuncios regulares. Para todos los presentes hoy aquí, esta reunión se está grabando en su totalidad. Por lo tanto, no es necesario solicitar que su caso sea grabado. La grabación debería estar lista poco después de la reunión de hoy en nuestro sitio web. En segundo lugar, de acuerdo con nuestras regulaciones, el argumento oral es 10 minutos por lado y voy a mirar el tiempo para las partes. Gracias.
Thank you. So I'm going to call the first matter on the docket, which was FIC 2020-0251, Luis Colon Ortega versus Fernando Spagnola, Chief Police Department, City of Waterford.
El caso número 2020-0251, Luis Colon Ortega contra Fernando Spagnola, Jefe Departamento de Policía, Ciudad de Waterbury y Ciudad de Waterbury.
Are you there, Mr. Ortega?
¿Estás allí, señor Ortega?
Sí.
And are you there, Attorney Scapini?
¿Estás allí, licenciado Scapini?
Yes, I'm here for the respondents.
Estoy aquí para los respondientes.
Thank you. Mr. Ortega, would you like to begin?
Señor Ortega, ¿quieres empezar?
Well, sí.
Oh, yes.
¿Y estamos al...
Ah.
Mi queja formal era que estaba pidiendo unos documentos legales que pertenecen a mi caso.
My first complaint is that I'm asking for these documents that pertain to my legal case.
Que ahora mismo se encuentra abierto mi caso actualmente.
Now, otra vez, señor Colón.
Que mi caso actual, caso mío de se encuentra abierto ahora mismo en la corte. Y necesitaba los documentos por eso, por tal razón yo.
My case remains open in the court. And I need the records, and that's why I'm asking for them.
Y le estaba pidiendo al honorable Irin que tomara en consideración y me pudieran aprobar la decisión, la petición mía.
I'm asking that you support my petition to get these records.
Ya que necesito de esa información para poder probar mi lo que estoy tratando de probarle a la corte que soy inocente en mi caso.
I need these records so that I can prove what I'm trying to prove, which is that I'm innocent, and I need to prove that in court.
Por tal razón estoy solicitando en el día de hoy.
For this reason, I'm asking for these records up till today. Perdón, sigue.
Ya que no me cumplieron en los términos estipulados que estipula la ley de FOI.
And I feel that they didn't comply with the FOI law.
Eso sería todo. Te estaría pidiendo que me tomen en consideración.
That's all I have to say, but I hope you take what I have to say into consideration.
Thank you.
Muchas gracias.
Gracias. De nada. You're welcome.
Attorney Scapini.
Licenciado Scapini.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All of the issues relevant to the question of compliance were vetted thoroughly at the hearing.
Todos los asuntos que tienen que ver con cumplir con la ley estaba mirado completamente.
And the respondents would respectfully request the commission to adopt the recommended order as issued by hearing officer Matthew Reed.
Y estamos pidiendo respetuosamente que la comisión adapte el reporte que salió del oficial de la vista, Attorney Reed.
Thank you, Attorney Scapini.
Gracias, licenciado Scapini.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
¿Cualquier comisionado tiene una pregunta?
Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Escuchando ninguno, entretendría una moción.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Presidente Egan, this is Commissioner Streeter. Yo muevo adopción del reporte.
Commissioner
Winkler, I second that. Commissioner Winkler hizo un segundo hacia la moción.
It's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Una moción ha sido hecho y había un segundo. ¿Hay algo de discutir?
Hearing none.
Escuchando ninguno, voy a tomar una votación.
Those in favor.
Todos en favor.
Commissioner Chabé?
Yes.
Commissioner Chabé, sí.
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn, sí.
Commissioner Fuzashi?
Yes.
Commissionado Fuzashi, sí.
Commissioner Hankins.
Yes. Also, I just sorry to interrupt, but my phone was of course off when I was so eloquent in supporting the hearing officer's decision. It's just that it was a thorough application of the facts and the law. So therefore, I was supporting. Sorry to interrupt, and I'll be more conscious of turning back on my microphone.
Commissioner Hankins, again, are you in favor of this?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Commissioner Hankins, please.
Mr. Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Shaw, please.
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter, please.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes. Commissioner Winkler, please.
Myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes.
Y yo, Presidente Egan.
Motion passes unanimously.
La moción se aprueba unánimemente.
Thank you, Mr. Ortega. Thank you, Attorney Scapini.
Gracias, señor Ortega. Gracias, licenciado Ortini.
Okay. All right, thank you. Great. I would like to take up...
Sería la dona.
Puede hablar.
Continued from the last meeting, and that is docket number FIC 2019-0750, Kevin Rennie versus Deputy General Counsel, Office of Governor Ned Lamont. Are you there, counsel?
Yes, Kevin Rennie, I'm here. And so, brother, too.
Thank you. I know that we have been presented with an amendment from Attorney Officer, Attorney Kathleen Ross. Attorney Ross?
Yes. One moment, please. Commissioner, can you hear me? I'm in the room with Attorney Murphy. I'm trying to move a little closer. Are we on mute? Can you hear me? Can the commission hear the hearing officer? Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. And yes, I think she would like to recite the amendment to ensure that everybody knows what it is.
Good afternoon. I did previously send the amendment to all the commissioners and to Attorney Rennie and to Attorney Miller. The amendment does not change the findings or the conclusions in the report. This is just intended to clarify paragraph 38. So the new paragraph 38 would read, the facts of the instant case, however, are unlike the facts in Craven, wherein the companies had applied for certain economic benefits and therefore provided their names to the state in order to be considered for participation in the First Five initiative. It is found that there was no testimony or other evidence presented in the instant case from which it could be determined that the companies provided their names or other information to the state at all, in confidence or otherwise. Attorney Delina testified only that he redacted the names of the companies that the state was pursuing as part of an economic development plan. It is also found, after careful in-camera inspection of the records identified in paragraph 32 above, that such records themselves do not lend support to the position that the companies provided their names or other information to the state.
Right here, a motion to amend hearing officer's report to include the new paragraph 38 in instead of the old paragraph 38.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move we amend the hearing officer's report per the request of the hearing officer with the language he just gave.
So is there any decision right now? So
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
There is a great deal of background noise. Can we ask participants to mute themselves?
It's perfect.
We are hearing somebody's conversation.
Hold on.
I believe the motion was made and Was the motion to amend seconded?
Yes.
The motion was made by Commissioner Streeter and the motion was seconded by Commissioner Winkler, is that correct?
Yes.
All right. So just regarding the amendment. Hearing none on the amendment only, I'll call a roll call. Vote of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fudeshi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankin?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Mr. Streeter? Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. The amendment passes unanimously. So now, with regard to the hearing officer's report as amended, is there any discussion? I have something to say unless anybody else has something to say.
Commissioner Egan, this is Commissioner Fudeshi. I also would like to say a few words.
Why don't you begin, Commissioner Fudeshi, please?
Okay, this is just be 30 seconds. Please bear with me. So I'm honored and motivated to serve on the commission because of my current and lifelong commitment, including as a reporter and media attorney, to the fundamental importance of transparency to a vibrant democracy. I have reviewed the FOIC with the FOIC staff, the current applicable Connecticut law, an FOI law that we can be proud of as an early and positive model for other states, indeed internationally. And I have reviewed the record. I will vote yes on the amended hearing officer's report, but I do so with some forward-looking concern focused on the economic development aspect of what we have up here. The complainant correctly asserts that there is no exemption for candid advice to the governor directly or by or through any mod if it is offered in an electronic document. I sense that on the cusp of the 21st century, our law may be in need of some update so that our state leaders can candidly engage our most thoughtful minds in the state and leading edge expertise. Many of these nutmeggers, including their spouses and significant others, are ready to partake through current technology in advancing our state with informed advice and engagement, including that most broadly relevant to broadening opportunity and economic competitiveness in our state. Thank you.
Well said, Mr. Fudeshi. Would anyone else like to make statement, comment, or have any questions?
This is Commissioner Hankins. Of course, I won't be as eloquent as Commissioner Fudeshi, but I believe that paragraph 38 is a pivotal paragraph, and that it was up to the trier of fact to see whether or not the second element was satisfied or not. She found that it was not, and that the state was, in fact, pursuing the company. So I, in a loose way, to say that those parties had no expectation of privacy. And, you know, there was no motion to intervene to keep their names private or anything like that, you know, if that's even necessary. But I believe that it was a well-drafted and well-reasoned decision, and I would support it.
Thank you, Commissioner Hankins. Do any of the other commissioners wish to be heard?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez.
Yes.
I would to add briefly that I too have reviewed in camera the records at issue, and I have reviewed the relevant authority and interpretation, the statutory language and the interpretation of it that has prevailed. And given the exemption that was presented by the respondent, and given the language of the statute and the interpretation, particularly the Craven case, I support the hearing officer's decision, particularly with the amendment that we have just considered. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioner. Do any of the other commissioners wish to be heard? Okay, I would like to just state, at this point, I have reviewed the in-camera records, which were pivotal, the Craven case, the DPU case, the chief of staff case. I've also reviewed the recorded hearing. I also reviewed the brief submitted by counsel and the hearing officer's decision a second and a third time. My concern at the last meeting was the focus of the decision set forth in section 38. The focus appeared to be on whether the state was pursuing the companies versus whether the companies were pursuing the state. I did not believe that made a difference as to whether the exemption applied. The issue as to whether the information was provided with the assurance of confidentiality or was provided under circumstances that the confidentiality could reasonably be inferred was what mattered. Attorney Ross clarified that for me and provided this commission with a recent amendment to paragraph or section 38. After reviewing all the records, after reviewing the recorded hearing, and after reviewing the case law, it is clear to me that the exemption does not apply. As Attorney Ross states in section 38, the companies did not provide any information. The best evidence was the in-camera records themselves, which appeared to be a sharing of ideas by individuals, and that sharing of information was not provided. Excuse me. That best evidence was the in-camera records themselves, which only appeared to be a sharing of ideas by individuals and not a sharing of commercial information under an implied assurance of confidentiality. For those reasons, I support the hearing officer's decision as amended. So I thank you all. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard?
This is Assistant Attorney General Philip Miller. May I be heard?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you. So I this is probably an uphill battle now, but I just wanted to say a couple quick things. So I still feel the focus, and with all due respect to the commissioners, and I appreciate all the time and effort you have gone into this. So I greatly thank and respect that. I still think the focus is not where it needs to be. So the question here, I think, in Craven is, how did this information come about? So clearly, names are commercial information. I think that was said in Craven, the hearing officer found that here. So we have names of companies. And now the question is, how did we get that information? And Attorney Lena did testify in this case that of all these, the names of these companies that we have redacted were, we got that information from, because part of economic development is we were in negotiations with the companies whose names we have written. And I think the material question in Craven, the key that made that information confidential in Craven, is not how fact that there's a trust in the industry that when businesses approach the state, we approach businesses no matter how we do it, whether we do it through a formal process such as the first five, or we do it as Governor Lamont has done it more with an outreach among his, you know, private and public sector friends and contacts that way. Whenever a company agrees to talk to the state, they have always agreed to do that under the understanding that that information would be confidential. And now what we have here is there are pending economic development deals, and now you have Governor Lamont's advisors, whether they're from the private sector advising him or formal positions in state government, and they have to be talking and referencing some of these pending deals and how what the topic they're talking about could affect them. So, for example, you saw redacted documents talking about the soda tax. And there's a few straight comments about how that could affect this pending economic development deal. But again, the question always goes back to when the company first was willing to engage with us, no matter who started that conversation, did they always understand that the fact that they were in negotiations with the state would have been confidential? And I think what Attorney Delina testified is really identical to what, Attorney McDonald testified to when he was the chief legal counsel for the governor. Yes, they did. That was the understanding. And when we talked, I think briefly, one of the commissioners mentioned, there was no motion to intervene. I mean, again, I don't know how that would be possible unless now we're going to seal the whole proceeding, because the company couldn't come in to intervene in this proceeding without obviously identifying their company whose name they're trying to withhold. So, I don't know how that would be possible without sealing these whole proceedings. So I understand these emails are sharing of ideas, but they're sharing commercial information. I don't think there's any question that the name of the company is commercial information. So it just yells back to the whole question, well, how did we get at that? And we got it because the company agreed to engage in economic development discussions with the state, and the tradition, the custom, the practice in the industry that has been undisputed, there's no testimony to the contrary to that, is that those outreach, that outreach is understand and confidential. So with all due respect, I request that you reverse the decision of the hearing officer on respect to paragraph 38 and find that the information was commercial information given in confidence. And I thank you for all the time and attention you've taken on this matter.
Thank you, Attorney Miller. Both you and Attorney Rennie did an excellent job arguing this case. I appreciate all your hard work. Attorney Rennie, would you like to be heard?
I will keep these comments brief. These are not emails between state officials who have some authority to negotiate on behalf of the state. These are emails from others with whom there was an obligation or an expectation of privacy. It was broken when these emails were exchanged with people who are not state officials. And it's not up to the governor's office to decide which members of the public get to see these emails and which ones don't. The law should be applied uniformly. These are generally, and I'm going to guess from the names that are at least I see on the emails, though I, of course, haven't seen the redaction, these are people who are associated with very sophisticated companies that have all sorts of resources and have dealt with many states, the federal government, often internationally. They understand what they are doing when they become involved with negotiations or even an interest, or if someone puts a feeler out to them. I'm sure it happens all the time. But that doesn't mean that somehow their expectation after a complaint is filed or a request is filed, that expectation suddenly goes from a wish to the law. It's not in the law. It's exempt. And I hope you will uphold the amended recommendation by the hearing officer. Thank you for the time that you have put into what I initially thought was quite a modest request of the governor's office.
Thank you, Attorney Rennie. As I said, both you and Attorney Miller did an excellent job presenting this case.
Mr. Chairman? Mr. Chairman, Mr. Chairman, it's Colleen Murphy here. I think the hearing officer would like to very briefly respond to the remarks from Attorney Miller.
Yes, Mr. Absolutely. Chairman. Thank you. I think it's important just to clarify that I could only work with the evidence that was given, and I think Attorney Miller may be overstating what the evidence in the record was. So Attorney Miller today is telling you that, or seems to be saying that there was evidence that these companies were quote unquote talking to the state, or that there was evidence that these companies were in negotiations with the state, or that there were pending economic deals. That was not the testimony. And I think that if there had been testimony that there were pending economic deals, very similar to the first five initiative, I don't think it even needed to rise to the level of the first five initiative, but if there had been evidence that that the state was actually in negotiations with a company, I think that we might have gotten a different decision, but that's not what the because if there were the if there was that evidence in the record, then I would agree with Attorney Miller that those companies would have provided their names to the state. But that's not what the evidence was. So I just think it's important to just make that clarification.
Thank you, Attorney. Thank you for your hard work on this matter, and you did an excellent job writing the decision. Thank you.
Sure. Attorney Egan, could I respond briefly to that?
I think we indulged once. One more time, Attorney Miller. Go ahead.
Thank you. Well, again, I apologize if I have strained the evidence at all in this case. I don't believe I had. I will look through the record again. I thought Attorney Delina had testified that, actually was on a question I thought from Mr. Rennie that, while I looked at these deals were still pending, I'm going to go through the record myself. I was on, I apologize. I guess I actually maybe rose for reconsideration if I do find that evidence. But again, I apologize all if I have stressed the evidence at all. That was not my intent. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you, Attorney Ross, again. All right, is there any further discussion on this matter?
This is Commissioner Chavez. I will just say my understanding of the evidence and my review of the in-camera records is consistent with what Attorney Ross described. There was not an indication of a pending or ongoing negotiation with any of the companies whose names were redacted.
I agree.
This is Commissioner Hanks. My in-camera review with the hearing officer, same as Commissioner Chavez.
Yeah, this is Commissioner Streeter. I echo the previous comments of Commissioner Chavez and Hankins that I too had seen them in camera records with and I support the hearing officer's report as amended.
Any further comment? Any further discussion by the commissioners? All right, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the amended hearing officer's report.
Second. Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez.
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn. Commissioner Einhorn.
Mr. Einhorn's on mute, I think.
He looks interested.
Yes, I am. Sorry. Yes.
Thank you. Commissioner Dudeshi.
Yes, I am voting for the hearing officer's report with the comments I made for the record.
Thank you, Commissioner Dudeshi. I agree with those comments. Thank you. Mr. Hankins.
Yes.
Mr. Shaw.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you all. Thank you for your hard work.
Thank you.
Thank you. I will move back to docket number FIC 2019-0606. David Montoya versus Superintendent of Schools, Westport Public Schools, et al.
And also, Commissioner, this is Commissioner Hankins. Also, the it's a companion case, 607.
Okay, so let me call it again. Docket number FIC 2019-0606, David Montoya, who is the Superintendent of Schools, Westport Public Schools, and docket number FIC 2019-0607, David Montoya, versus Superintendent of Schools, Westport Public Schools, et al. Those are the two matters. Attorney Murphy, do we need to have a motion to consolidate?
No, I don't think so. They were consolidated for purposes of hearing, and unless there is some reason to take them separately, I think you can take them together. I'll leave that to the parties and the hearing officer.
Steve indicated that they both would allow them to be consolidated, so we'll consolidate those two. Are you there, Mr. Montoya?
I am, sir.
Okay, and are you there, Attorney Rickard?
Yes.
Okay, you both agree that these matters can be consolidated?
I do. Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Great. Mr. Montoya, would you like to begin, please?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to thank both the commissioners and the hearing officer and Attorney Rickard. And I've never done anything like this before, and I think it's everybody's credit and to the state of Connecticut. Seriously, everybody takes this. I'm going to be brief. I just wanted to add some color to the two decisions by the hearing officer, and then Attorney Rickard, or however you continue the process, can go on. The first is with respect to a conclusion in one of the hearing officer's reports. I believe it's 0607, where it talked about, I think it's around paragraph 15, where it talked about metadata and Pearson. With respect to that, the school district used a system that was hosted by Pearson to maintain certain school records. And at a certain point, the school district decided not to move forward and continue their contracts with them. And they had approximately 7 years worth of student data on the Pearson system. What I discovered and what was, I believe, put into the record was that when it came time to back up these records so that any parent, not just myself, could ask for their students' records, only 3 of the 7 years have been backed up, which to me just seems very strange, that why wouldn't you back up everything? And with respect to the conclusion about metadata and if it had been stripped out, I guess I have something of a computer background. Metadata is the information that you create a document. And by the way, please stop me if you don't want to hear any of this. I'll just answer questions or whatever. But whenever you create a document, there's certain information that's created behind that document. What's your name, or the name of the person on that computer, the time it was created, etc. It can't be stripped from a document. You could take a document and copy and paste it and do something new, but a conclusion that the metadata wasn't saved, it's not possible if you save the document. And what we had requested, or what I had requested, was certain documents. And what I was told was, number one, it only went back 7 years, not the full 7 years. So I couldn't get, or no parent in Westport could get all of their documents. And second of all, I was told that when this was backed up, it was backed up onto a number of different servers, but that they never checked to make sure everything was accurately backed up. So that's one comment about the conclusion there and what you may or may want to do with that. The second one, and then I'll just end it, is at a certain point in time, I had submitted some additional FOIA/FERPA requests. And there was a conclusion, I believe this is in the second matter, that it was voluminous, and that parties were being responsive. And to that, I have to say, you know, looking back over time, I can say, yes, it absolutely was voluminous. And at a certain point, Attorney Rickard and I, who was very nice about this, said, look, we need to kind of, can we limit this? Because you're asking for the kitchen sink, and we discussed, and now this is pre-COVID, and I understand COVID bit, and we have, everyone has to be reasonable because we're living through a pandemic. But since that point in time, I haven't received records or updates, and I guess, you know, having read through the record, I understand everything has to end at a certain point, but I thought that the commissioners should know about Pearson not being fully backed up for all of the parents, and that when I was requesting records about Pearson, I had been told, we're not going to search all of these terabytes of records that we have. And again, there are always reasons for something, but we're not going to search all of these records because it'll be time-consuming and costly. And I guess that's what I have to say about the... and I respect the hearing officer and the conclusions, but I wanted to add color in case you had questions or if that influenced any of your decisions. And that was it.
Thank you. Any records?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These two matters were consolidated for hearing. Both cases were dismissed on virtually identical grounds in well-stated proposed final decisions that were based on, you know, longstanding and fundamental basic FOI principles. One, that agencies don't have to answer questions. Agencies are not required to create documents to respond to requests. That alleged violations of state and federal record retention laws, which the respondents would deny, are in any event outside the scope of the commission's jurisdiction. And finally, that FOI requests and issues that are not the subject of the requests that are, you know, at issue in the complaints are just not relevant. The complainant was represented by competent counsel throughout the hearing and post-hearing briefing. She's since withdrawn, but she was represented by counsel. You know, the hearing officer had an opportunity to consider all the facts, fully and fairly considered the matter. And so we would just respectfully request that the commission adopt the proposed final decisions of Attorney McGee.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer reports in FIC 2019-0606 and FIC 2019-0607.
Is there a second?
All right, second. Second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chavez. I'm sorry I didn't get off quickly enough before. I support the hearing officer's decisions, and I note that in both decisions there is a paragraph, I believe it's 14 in the first and 17 in the second, just that acknowledges the complainant's concerns with the practices of the respondent, but does conclude that there hasn't been a violation of the Freedom of Information Act. And I think essentially that's what the Respondents' Council was suggesting also, is that the jurisdiction of this commission is limited to enforcing the Freedom of Information Act. And it appears that the complainant's concerns, Mr. Montoya was speaking about things, the metadata and that kind of thing, that are not really a question of whether responsive records were produced. And so I do support the hearing officer's decisions.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a vote of those in favor. Mr. Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Bidushi?
Yes.
Mr. Nagel?
Yes was the vote.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
Chairman Onika, yes. The both matters passed unanimously. The hearing officer's decision is adopted unanimously. Thank you both.
And Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Chauvet. I unfortunately need to leave the meeting at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Chauvet. All right, next is docket number FIC 2019-0686, Cynthia McCorkendale versus Chairman, Board of Finance, Town of Bethel, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yeah, Cynthia McCorkendale here. Yeah.
Attorney Lawler is here for the response.
Attorney Lawler, all right. Ms. McCorkendale, would you like to begin, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So this goes back about a year and a half. My complaint has to do with what I perceive as a violation of Chapter 14, Freedom of Information Act, Section 1-200, parentheses 2, which defines what a meeting is. And it has to do with a series of emails that went back and forth between the chairman, the finance board chairman, Mr. Manfreda, and that he sent out to the board. And what was attached was a letter from an auditor who audited the town. And the request in the letter said, please sign and email the questionnaire to that person, signed by Mr. Manfreda on behalf of the board members. But what the issue for me was that there was a request from the chairman in a group email asking if they would answer yes to any of the questions, which had to do with, do you know of any corruption in the town? Do you know of any fraud being committed? And to me, that sounded like a request. I know that the counsel for the respondent will say that this particular matter happens every year and that the Board of Finance doesn't have any purview over any part of this. I will also tell you that I did try to address this without filing a complaint by going back and forth with Mr. Manfreda, but at the end of the day, we did not agree. Further, after that exchange, at a regular board meeting, November 12, 2019, I made a verbal motion to add the discussion of the letter issue to the agenda. And the motion put it to a vote, and it was 3-3. So Robert's rules of order, it failed. But despite that motion failing, Mr. Manfreda editorialized that discussing the matter at the board meeting was inappropriate. The point was moot because he had communicated with me directly on the issue. He also shared with the board that he had offered to meet with me individually to discuss my concerns. Now, I have a pretty hard to policy that anything, I don't like to take things offline, things like this, because I'm on a public record too many times. I've had conversations, and my experience has been with certain issues that a conversation pretty much means nothing happens. So I always like to be on the record, especially with issues of boards that I'm a member of. So there was a little bit of a, I guess it got a little heated at point, but my issue is that I believe this is a violation. It was a while back, so I know that things have changed with COVID. This was November 2019, and I have a huge amount of respect for the Freedom of Information Act and all this kind of stuff. So that's pretty much what I have to say, and I really appreciate you hearing me. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you very much. I'll try to be as brief as I can. I just want to clarify one thing. I think if you check the record, you'll find that there was no series of emails that went back and forth between the chairman of the Board of Finance and the rest of the board members. There was one email. And what's important about the email was I don't know if you have my little memorandum that I presented, but under the conclusion, it was very specific in the email. It indicated that there was to be no reply to all, and that the intent of the email wasn't to solicit any discussion or action. The email itself was presented in a detailed discussion, was to be, not to be presented in detailed discussion. In addition, there was no quorum that was dealt with. There wasn't any response going back and forth via emails at the time. The other issue that it didn't constitute, so under those circumstances, it never constituted a meeting. In addition, if you look under the statute 1-202, it indicates that the board has to have supervision, control, or jurisdiction or advisory powers. The Board of Finance for the town of Bethel has no authority when it comes to fraud, absolutely none. And the point was made that because we didn't have the authority, all right, that it could not be considered a meeting. And the hearing officer, Ms. Harmon, she agreed that in her report that it didn't rise to the level of a meeting based on those two items. All right, and in addition, as far as Mr. Kirkendale's issue regarding what took place at the meeting, that's simply Robert's rules. It has nothing to do with FOI. Motion to the commission decided that it wasn't in their best interest to discuss it at the time. So I think under the circumstances, we'd ask that the hearing officer's report, both as to the factual issues that were found and as to the legal issues or conclusions that she made, be upheld by the commission. Thank you.
Do any of the commissioners have any questions? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call of those in favor. Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fizeci?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you both very much. I appreciate your arguments. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0231, John DeLorio versus Banking Committee, State of Connecticut, General Assembly. Are you there, Mr. DeLorio?
And Attorney Ann Rubin representing Mr. DeLorio.
I'm sorry, DeLorio.
Yes.
Is he here as well?
No, he is not.
Thank you. And there is someone from the Banking Committee for the State of Connecticut.
Yes, hello. Jim Campbell from the Office of Legislative Management.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. All right. Campbell, would you like to begin?
Please. Yeah, I upon reading the order of the commission by Attorney Reed, I don't have any further comments at this time.
Claimant John DeLorio requested the commission approve the reported hearing officer.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, this is Attorney Reed.
Yes.
I'd just like to offer one very brief amendment to the recommendations on this report. And I would recommend the addition of it's kind of a standard admonishment that goes with the recommendations at the end of our reports. This would be to add a number 5 to paragraph 30. It would read, henceforth, comma, the respondent shall strictly comply with sections 1-210A and 1-212A general statute. That would be the end of the amendment.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I'll move that we have been the hearing officers to add a number five with the hearing officers language regarding 1-10A and 1-12A.
Is there a second?
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Is there discussion on the amendment only? Hearing none, I'll take a roll call. Those in favor of the amendment. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Tedeschi?
Yes.
Mr. Bacon?
Yes.
Mr. Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And then Owen Egan, yes.
And then Owen.
So the amendment passes unanimously. I'll give the parties an opportunity to address the commission based on the amendment. Do you wish to say anything, Attorney Ruby?
No, we support the amendment proposed by the hearing officer.
Thank you. Mr. Tamburo, do you have any?
I do not, thank you.
All right, with that, is there any discussion on the hearing officer's report as amended? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move the amended hearing officer's report for adoption.
Commissioner Winkler, I'll second
it. Is there discussion on the motion? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. There's no discussion. I'll take a roll call of those in favor of the hearing officer's report as amended. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Sessi?
Yes.
Jenkins?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. Motion passed unanimously. Passes docket number FIC 2020-0285, Italian American Heritage Group of New Haven, LLC versus Board of Park Commissioners, et al. Anyone there on that matter?
Yes, Attorney Patricia Francesco represents the complainant. And I'm here with the organization that we were seeing.
Okay, I didn't catch that. There was interference.
I'm sorry, Attorney Patricia Francesco for the complainant, and I'm here with the president of the Italian American Heritage Group, Louis Payne.
Louis Payne?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. And here, Board of Park Commissioners, City of New Haven.
Attorney Francesco. This is Catherine Lamar, Deputy Corporation Counsel for the City of New Haven. To the respondent. Catherine, C-A-T-E-R-I-E, last name is Lamar, L-A, capital M-A-R-R. I'm the Deputy Corporation Counsel.
A lot of interference when you're speaking. I don't know what it is, but in any event, would you like to begin, Attorney Lamar? Attorney Lamar.
Okay. The City of New Haven supports the hearing officer's recommendation. We've already begun to schedule training for not only the Board of Park Commissioners, but all boards and commissions and frankly departments as well. And efforts to correct the record will be taken up at the next meeting of the Board of Parks Commissioner. Although we do not believe that maintenance matters, which was the subject of the action that was a consensus vote, that those maintenance matters do not require the approval of the Board of Parks Commissioners, and the cost of the removal of the statue did not rise to the level of the Parks Commissioners' attention, we're still going to go ahead and correct that record. So we do support the recommendation of the hearing officer.
Okay, thank you. Attorney Francesco.
Yes, sir. I'm having a hard time hearing. This hearing is cutting in and out. but I'm going to take you off the speaker, okay? Maybe that'll help. Okay. So I do not support the recommendations made by the hearing officer for the following reasons. In the findings, in the proposed findings made by the hearing officer, specifically paragraphs, I believe, 9 and 10, I believe this was by the admission of the Board of, by the representative from the Board of Park Commissioners. There was not a two-thirds vote taken to amend the agenda, to add to the agenda any discussion or vote on the removal of the statue of Christopher Columbus from the Woodson Square Green. That was a specific admission, and therefore finding that was made, again, paragraphs 5, 9, and 10 of the proposed findings of fact. With those findings of fact, and significantly in the hearing officer relies upon a case by the name of, it was an appellate court case, Zoning Board of Appeals versus FOIC 66 Con App 279 2001 case, where the Freedom of Information Commission actually sought to nullify the actions of a zoning board, which had granted a zoning variance at a meeting when a two-thirds vote to amend the agenda was not undertaken. It was overturned at the lower court, and then the appellate court actually affirmed it. The appellate court said, yeah, you know what? What FOIC did was absolutely right. And the appellate court uses the very language in Freedom of Information Act, where it says the plain language of the act, read in its entirety, strongly suggests that the legislature intended a two-thirds vote to add an agenda item as a way to prevent agencies from avoiding the requirement of public disclosure under the act. So with that said, we then turn to the proposed orders that were issued by the hearing officer. You know, we've got an order that a record be created of the votes taken at the June 17th meeting. We've got an order that a representative of the board contact the FOIC to arrange training. We've got a henceforth that the respondents shall strictly comply. Well, that's all well and good, but that doesn't cure the very defect that caused this to begin with, which was that there was a discussion, and there was a, if you want to call it a consensus, the equivalent of a vote. There was a vote taken on a subject that was never legally added to the agenda by a two-thirds vote. The very purpose behind 1-225C was undermined, and yet we have an order that is preserving the vote. Well, let's record the vote, let's record it in the minutes, let's publish the minutes, let's make sure that this never happens again. But that doesn't cure the defect that got us to that place to begin with, which was this meeting that gets held when a discussion takes place, when a vote is taken, that my client nor any other members of the general public have notice of. So these remedies, these orders, these proposed orders that are suggested, as far as the expression goes, the cow's already out of the barn, let's lock the gate now, that's what it reminds me of. This is wholly insufficient. It is wholly inadequate. I would venture to say it is out of compliance with not only the spirit, but the letter of the Freedom of Information Act for these orders to be issued. What I suggested at the hearing was that because this discussion and this vote took place without full compliance with the Freedom of Information Act, that in fact, that vote, that action was illegal. So preserving the vote should not preserve the illegal action that was behind it. So that's why I am asking that these orders or these proposed orders not be accepted by the commission. It is absolutely, positively inconsistent on the one hand for the hearing officer to have found that the Board of Park Commissioners violated the act when they didn't take a two-thirds vote to amend the agenda on the one hand, proposed paragraph 5, 9, and 10, but on the other hand, you know, in the proposed orders or release say, well, okay, but we're not going to overturn the actions that were taken. We're not going to overturn the vote. We simply want you to preserve the vote that was already taken and make sure it's reflected in, if I'm looking at number one and number two, create a record of the vote and then make sure that you get training so that this never happens again. It is an absolute inconsistency, which I'm suggesting is directly at odds with the factual findings made, and more importantly, with the clear language of the Freedom of Information Act itself. With, in fact, the very case that the hearing officer cites in the proposed memorandum of decision. So for those reasons, I would ask that this not be accepted. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for the parties?
This is Catherine Lamar. Do I still have any more of my 10 minutes left?
Sure. Go ahead.
Because I do want to point out one more time that the matter of the removal of the statue from Worcester Square was a maintenance matter, and it was improperly before the Board of Parks Commissioners. So we agree with the recommendation of the hearing officer because this is not a situation where the cow had left the barn and now we're locking the door. The matter was inappropriately in front of the Parks Commission in the first place. We agree that training is necessary, may I please finish? I did not interrupt you, Attorney Francesco. The matter should never have been before the Board of Parks Commissioner. It was not something that was recommended by the Corporation Counsel's office, and we are going to correct the record to show what their authority was, what the consensus was, and we absolutely agree that training is required and necessary in the city, and we are undertaking that. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Attorney Francesco.
Well, if that's the case, then why did they vote on it? And if that's the case, why was it removed? I mean, how do you undo it now, except to not accept this report, send it back to square one, put it on the agenda if it belongs on the agenda, and allow people like my client to be heard on it. I mean, it's one thing to say, well, it never should have been there to begin with, but it went there, it was a consensus was drawn, the equivalent, I'm told, of a vote, and as a result of that, it was removed. So the damage was done. So reflecting, conformity with the orders still doesn't get my client where this needs to go.
Thank you. Attorney Ross.
One moment, she is approaching the table here. Hold on. Okay, I'm here.
Do you wish to comment on any arguments?
The remedy for a violation is really within the commission's discretion. It seems to me in this case, I guess I wondered to myself what purpose would be served by declaring the meeting null and void. I think think the statue has been removed. So the respondents were very contrite at the hearing. I don't think that they'll do this again. They'll make this mistake again. And I just didn't think that declaring the meeting null and void was appropriate in this case.
Okay. Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have wish to be heard? I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. I'll take a roll call of those in favor. Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Musashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Franken?
Yes.
Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler? And myself, all in even, yes. The motion passes unanimously. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Francesco.
Thank you very much.
Mark, have a great day. All right.
Thank you.
Colleen, report on pending appeal.
Yes, at this time, no report on pending appeals. Nothing new happening at the moment. And I can move on to the executive director's report and just briefly, you know, share that we are continuing to conduct the remote hearings in our new space. We have had some glitches with our Wi-Fi, which we thought had been corrected by accessing the network, but today that posed a problem for us. So we're still obviously working through a few things here, but we are getting those hearings rolling as best as we can. And then in terms of our offices, I think now a number of you have actually seen our offices, so you know what our new space is like. We really look forward to welcoming all of you back in person soon. And to that end, you know, my hope, I think, is that we begin conducting in-person hearings sometime in the fall and perhaps have our commission meetings return to largely in person with an option for a hybrid component, which kind of dovetails into the legislative session and a bill passed regarding remote meetings going forward that I'll wait and let Paula share with you. And just to tell you too, that when you do come into the office for the first time, apparently your badge will need to be reactivated. We thought that had been done already, but there's something relative to your badges that they have to be activated on the day that you come in, or else they're disengaged after 24 hours or something like that. So just be prepared for that. We'll help you out with that when you come. Then under staff reports, nothing major to report. That staff attorney 2 position, the advertisement for it has closed and we're awaiting the certified list of candidates for that. And we'll begin the process of looking through those applications as soon as we get that. I think that's it. We can, for my updates, I can turn it over to Paula. I think she just wants to give you a real brief update again on some of the larger bills or you know, the most significant bills that we were tracking. So Paula, if you were there.
Hi. Good afternoon. I think what I'm just gonna save most of my comments for the legislative report, which I am working on. And in addition to the report, we are working on a primer for the new remote meetings provisions. We are getting lots of questions from agencies and attorneys inquiring as to how they are to proceed once the executive order governing remote meetings expires at the end of June. As Connelly mentioned there is a bill that passed or a provisions that passed in the actually in the budget implementer that was taken up and passed during the special session that will permit
agencies to continue to have remote meetings as long as certain requirements are and procedures are followed. It is a permissive, it's permissive and agencies are not required to hold remote meetings. But again, if they do choose to hold a remote meeting, whether it's solely remote or a hybrid meeting, they will be required to follow these new requirements. Just something to note about this particular proposal, it's interesting to us that it's actually only in effect for a year. It becomes effective July 1st, and then it is to expire in April of 2022. In the meantime, a study has been it's been ordered that the Advisory Committee on Intergovernmental Relations conduct a study regarding the feasibility of the new meetings provisions, and they have a report that's due in February of next year. So just as the next legislative session is starting, that report is due. Just to point out one other thing with respect to the new provisions, there are a couple of requirements that didn't exist before, including requiring agencies to record and either record or transcribe their meetings. As you know, the commission, we record all our hearings and we've been recording our commission meetings during this period. That will continue as a requirement if we were to proceed to have electronic meetings. But that's all I have for now, unless you have any questions regarding any of the bills that I've been presenting on throughout the session. As I said, I am working on the legislative report to kind of give you to highlight some of the more significant bills and what happened with those bills. So that's all I have for now.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Paula. We believe, just one little add-on, we believe that provision that in the new remote meetings bill that ends on April, whatever it is, when a date in April 2022, that the point of that is just that this is sort of like an extender or a bridge to potential, more robust requirements or descriptions of what needs to occur in the remote meeting environment. So I think this is just kind of a way to extend the governor's orders to some degree and, add a little to them, but stay tuned that probably by next year there will be some other additions to this legislation, as the bill that passed really didn't resemble the bills that we were working on. They were much more expansive, detailed. So we think that will come down the road after this commission studies this issue. Thank you, Paula.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah. And to think at some point, we used to have people complain when they were in the room that people weren't talking loud enough. Now we have to worry about people that might not be able to hear the meetings remotely or get dropped from I wonder how that's all going to play out in the FOI world moving forward.
Right. And some of these proposals, aim to address those sorts of things, how to handle them. So we will see going forward. It's a brave new world we're all in, right? again, thanks. Thanks, Paula. And thanks to our legislative team. And we'll conclude the legislative report once Paula prepares that report for us, and we'll share more on it. I don't have anything further, nothing under new business. I do want to thank you all for your doggedness with regard to our agenda, and appreciate all the attention that was given to our agenda today and at all times.
Thank you. Thank everyone on your staff for all their help, Colleen. I appreciated meeting with you and Kathleen.
Yes.
It was very helpful.
Thank you.
So, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I will be adjourned.
Commissioner Winkler, I'll second that.
I'll take a roll call vote on the motion to adjourn. Commissioner Einhorn.
Yes.
Mr. Dujeshi.
Yes.
Mr. Hendricks.
Yes.
Mr. Strong.
Yes.
Mr. Streeter.
Yes.
Mr. Winkler. Mr. Winkler?
Yes,
there
she is.
Thank you. And myself, Owen Egan, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you all. Have a great
day. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy your summers.